Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and 1 through 4, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." I want to key in on the fire of verse number 3 and talk about fire works. Fire works. Psalm 19 and 1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Friend, when you think about the glory of God, and we've just come through the 250th year celebration of the birth of the United States of America, nobody can put on a fireworks display like the Almighty God. Righteous indignation burning on the altars of night. See the kindling of stars on ashen coals of space. Horizons explode with sunlight flames and sparks of dawn. Burgeoning candles of constellations and cascading colors of the aurora borealis, flashes and flames, trailing comets and thundering cannons, asteroids on the fingertips of the Almighty, meteorites out of his mouth, shooting stars racing like splinters on the galactic tracks of space, astronomical flares and cosmic bursts, lightning storms chaotically amplified by the endless drumbeats of thunder, booms and radiant beams, creativity and combustion, electricity and endless energy. This is the energy of Elohim. This is the essence of El Shaddai. This is the wattage of his word, if you will. Yes, God puts on a fireworks show unlike any other. But I want you to see even a little bit different slant of this concept of fireworks. Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Exodus 19 and 18. You see, this was the same timing as the day of Pentecost. God descended upon that mountain to bring the law. In Acts chapter 2, he descended in the upper room to bring the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my friend, it burns with glory. It blazes with power. When God shows up in a fire, the conversation changes, hence the speaking in tongues. You've been speaking with a language that failure gives the utterance. Shame gives the utterance. But in this fire, it's the Holy Ghost that gives a new utterance. You can come out of the dirt and the failures and the shame of your past and live in the power of the Holy Ghost, because that Holy Ghost fire, it works. Think about this. When that fire descends upon the mountain, we often see the mountain as a high place of struggle, hindrances of hell, obstacles to our faith. But that's not all mountains are. Mountains are made for ministers. The high places are made for the humble. And when you walk in those places in the Spirit, you realize this isn't about being imprisoned by the past. This is not about some obstruction to my faith. This is not about some interference of hell to make me feel inconvenienced or to make me feel intimidated by the darkness. No, when the Lord descends upon that mount, there's a smoke. But it ain't just the smoke of a dead religion. It's the fire that descends. That's what creates the glory of God and the presence of the Lord. So it's not just the passivity of dead religion, but it's the passion of praying Pentecostals. It's the passion of worshipers who know how to get in the Spirit, because fire works. It turns the mountain of trial into a high place of triumph, into a place that gives you a vantage point and a vision of the good things of God to come as you move forward on this glorious journey of faith. As we can also see in Exodus 13 and 21 through 22, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. Think about that, friend. Day and night there is the presence of the Lord. Now, some folks, day and night, they have worries, they have secular concerns, they're trying to figure out how to pay certain bills, how to overcome certain relationship conflicts, how to overcome certain shameful things of guilt in their own spirit, and day and night they're fretting and they're full of fear. And yet, this is a scripture that tells us, wait a minute, it's not about living in a prison day and night. It's not about walking around in fear day and night. It's about understanding that there is a fire of God's presence day and night. That's why when you and I received the power of the Holy Ghost, we didn't just get the Holy Ghost, but according to Matthew 3, we got the Holy Ghost and fire. There is a power of God. It's a purging power. It's a purifying power. It is a perfecting power, but it's also a protecting power. It is that glorious fire that gave light and guidance to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And so, my friend, if you're trying to figure out what to do when you feel confused by the situation before you, understand that the power of God's word is a burning lamp and a pillar of fire, and his presence is no different today than it was back then. And we may not get to see a visible pillar of fire, but God has given us the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. That means we have the guidance of God. We've got divine direction. It's not based on human opinion. It's not based on our failing analysis. It's not based on what happened the last 10 times when you failed to get it done. But this is the hour when you're going to be spirit-led into a valley of liberty, and you're going to see spiritual breakthroughs like you have never seen before. Exodus 13 and 22 said, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. For those that may be listening to this today with abandonment issues, I want you to know that your heavenly Father will not treat you as maybe some secular father has treated you or left you, or maybe you don't even know who your secular father or biological father was. But your spiritual heavenly Father has a fire by night and a cloud by day, and he's not going to leave you high and dry in the desert of your grief. Exodus 14 and 24 through 25 says, and it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. One of the things you need to see in practicality is that the Lord shows up early when his people are fighting an enemy. He brings that vision and understanding and perspective of his divine understanding. It is not that God has a passive or a weak or frail approach. God has never been intimidated by the enemy. When he looked at the enemy, it was through the pillar of fire and of that cloud. And it wasn't God that was troubled. It wasn't the people of God that was troubled. It was the host of the Egyptians. And the very thing that made them powerful and made Israel vulnerable was those chariots. But when those chariot wheels began to come off, and when the heaviness of the moment was now on Egypt and not the people of God, it was that God was troubling the host of the Egyptians. Now look at this. They said, let us flee from the face of Israel. They didn't say from the face of God. They said from the face of Israel. Because my friend, when the fire begins to work in your life, when the power of God's presence is evident in your life, there are times they can't tell the difference between God and his people because of oneness. because of the power and the demonstration of the Spirit and the manifestation of God's presence among his people. That ought to be a comfort to somebody that is dealing with nightmare circumstances. That ought to be a strength to somebody that has felt weakened by the load of grief that you've been carrying. That ought to give an understanding to somebody who's been confused as to why God hasn't seemingly shown up for you yet. But I want you to know that God doesn't just listen. He brings light. And God doesn't just bring light. He brings liberty. And at some point, it may not be today, and it may not be according to a set time on a human calendar, but in God's perfect timing, God is going to bring liberty to your situation. He's going to give you a route of escape. He's going to be your defense against the devil. He's going to help you overcome your grief with an incredible amount of grace through the riches of his mercy if you'll just trust him. Exodus 40 and 38 tells us, "For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." Now think about that. Sometimes it's a journey of faith, and then sometimes it's a journey of fear that we fight in our flesh. Whether we're on top of it or feeling underneath it, you need to know that the presence of the Lord is always with you. And it is upon his tabernacle. So there's something about being in the sanctuary of the Lord. There's something about assembling together with the faithful people of God. There's something about joining your situation with the praises of God's people on a Sunday morning when the choir is singing, when the music's playing, or when the preaching of God's word is going forth. You need to know that regardless of what kind of journey it is, the Bible said throughout all their journeys. Sometimes you feel like it's a journey of success. Sometimes it's a journey filled with failures. And yet you learn something from those things. You go through those episodes where it looks like the enemy is winning. You go through those days where it feels like everything you try to do ends up coming back around against you instead of working for you. But this is the great consolation to those that live by hope and not just by human analysis. And that is that God is going to be with us. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We are not abandoned when we go through situations that are just totally out of our control. See, my friend, fire works to give you confidence instead of condemnation. Fire works to give you spiritual understanding instead of just secular confusion. Fire works to give you discernment in the dark instead of fumbling around with your failures and staying confused about what you could not humanly do. When we put our trust in the Lord, God doesn't just direct our steps, but he divides us from our past. He gives us a course to walk on. He gives us journeys to continue. Sometimes we look at where we've been and we don't see that much progress, but you've got to keep examining the next mile marker ahead. And somewhere down the road, you look back and realize, now look at there, see what the Lord has done for me. I wouldn't even have recognized it while I was going through it. But now that I look back and I examine the circumstances again, I see that he was always with me. Now think about this. In Exodus 3 and 2, Moses had a confrontation and an encounter with God at a bush that burned with fire and a bush that was not consumed. Now this was a burning bush experience that was for Moses' calling. But later on, when you get to the end of Exodus, you have the fire of God's presence that is not just calling him, but it's keeping him. The same fire of God that calls us out of darkness is the same fire of God that keeps us from the darkness. Don't let the enemy think that God had the power to deliver you, but he doesn't have the power to keep you or to develop you. Every day you are learning something about God and maybe even something about yourself. And as you examine your human failures or even your successes, as you examine your ambitions, some of them with fleshly pride and some of them with the humility and grace of God, we learn, we grow, we are conformed to the image of Christ so that you're not just living a life of coming out, but you're living a life of going forth. You can't just have an escape mentality. You must have a discovery mentality. Look ahead. What's down the road? What's between you and the next mile marker? What mercies of God will you discover again? What grace of God will you taste of again? What feasts of His presence will you enjoy again as you walk with the Lord and continue on your journey of faith? Now think about this. Matthew 3 and 11 through 12 says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that in verse 12, the fan is his, it's in his hand, the floor is his, the wheat and the garner is his, but the chaff is not his. His hand, his floor, his wheat, but not his chaff. I want you to know, friend, don't let the enemy make you think that you're the chaff. It's the enemy that is the chaff. When the winds of mighty revival blow, it's the chaff of the unbelief and even the unbeliever at times that refuses the word of the Lord, refuses the revelation of truth, and so that chaff gets blown away. But the word of God says that his hand and his floor and his wheat, they all come together. You're in the presence of God. You're in the place of the storehouse of the goodness and mercy of God. He is not going to let you just blow away in some ill wind. No, you have the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Ghost, and you have the fire of His presence. And then Acts 28 and 3 through 5 says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened to his hand. Now the context for this particular verse is that Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Melita. And because it was cold, and I'm sure they were freezing and feverish, they built a fire. Paul didn't want that fire to go out, so he went and gathered a bundle of sticks. Now think about this. There are those that want to keep revival going. And so when they come to church, they don't come to church with folded arms. They come to church with a bundle of praise. They don't come to church to just observe what others are doing or might not be doing. But they bring an effort that is going to add to the evangelism. They want that fire to burn. They want the things of God to expand and be seen. And so this is what happens. Now think about this. The viper attacked Paul because Paul was putting sticks on the fire to grow the fire. Devils don't like fire. Devils don't like revival. But think about this. Devils will never attack somebody who's just sitting by waiting for others to build the revival. If you're not going to put sticks on the fire, don't worry about the enemy attacking your hand. Hell is not coming against those who are just sitting back waiting for somebody else to get it done. So don't let yourself get caught up in passive faith, but let that Pentecostal fire burn and say, I'm going to add something to this revival. Now, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Now, think about this. You're going to get misunderstood. You're going to be misrepresented. You're going to be falsely accused. The enemy comes with condemnation and shame and false guilt because he doesn't want you to build that fire. He doesn't want revival fire to burn. But look at what the scripture says. You know what Paul's response was? He wasn't worried about the criticism because he had a cause. He wasn't worried about the criticism because he lived for the kingdom of God. He simply threw that snake off into the fire. That's the best thing you can do when you're attacked by the enemy, because fire works. Don't try to fight the enemy in human flesh. Don't try to fight the enemy by human means. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not that we don't grapple. It's not that we don't fight. It's not that we don't contend for the gospel. It's just we don't do it by human means. We do it by the power of the Holy Ghost, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want you to know that fire works. You may feel like something has latched onto you, that there's been a demonic attack out of nowhere because you're just trying to do what's right. You just want to be obedient to the man of God in your life, to the message that's been preached. And so the fire of the Holy Ghost is not only burning, but it is beckoning you to join him, join the Lord in a journey of faith, a one that takes us as pilgrims through this old world. And when you've been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost like they received in Acts chapter 2 and 1 through 4, that fire is not just for your guidance, but that fire is your understanding of the gospel. It burns in you as a testimony because you know what the Lord has done for you. It burns in you because God has given you faith, maybe where you used to have unbelief, but now you trust the Lord. You trust the Lord because you've been through some experiences where God has proven through his word that he's led you through them, or he's led you out of them, or maybe he led you around them at times, just depending on what the circumstance was. But I'm telling you today, friend, that fire works. It will take care of the enemies that come against you. It will take care of demonic attacks. It will give you discernment when you're walking around, shrugging your shoulders, hanging your head, feeling like everything is just a doubt-filled atmosphere and you're living from one environment of setbacks to another. But here comes the presence of the Lord when you begin to pray. Here comes the power of God in manifestation in your life when you begin to trust the Lord and wait on the Lord. And you realize that there are times you're still going to have some patience because God doesn't always work like a microwave. But sometimes as we linger in the presence of the Lord and we wait on God and we continue to seek the Lord from day to day, we know that we are not chaff, but we are chosen of the Lord because we've obeyed his truth and we walk with him. I want you to be encouraged today, friend, that no matter what you're facing, I pray that the Lord will give you the strength not only to get through your storm or get beyond what has truly been stressing you out day and night, but that you'll understand that fire works, that the presence of the Lord is empowering and encouraging and endearing. There's not just a comfort of the Lord, there's a compassion of the Lord and a relationship that continues to build day by day. And so, my friend, no matter what you're facing, you let the enemy know today that you believe with all of your heart fire works and you're going to trust in the power of the Holy Ghost to keep working in your life in Jesus' name.
But I found a love so amazing. So I cannot give half of my worship, and that should be no surprise. So ask me why I worship the way that I do, 'cause I got a reason.
lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was blind, now I'm free, walking in the light. That's the reason why, that's the reason I got my
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.